Thank you, Jerry and Joe. We'll see you guys tomorrow. The strains of Bruce Hornsby and the Range playing here at Rogers Center after this one. That's just the way it is. It's been the way it is way too many times in the month of August. The Blue Jays 6-15 now for the month. Tied with the Chicago White Sox for the worst record in the major leagues over that time. And their playoff chances slip sliding away. I know a lot of people who call Blue Jays talk want me to declare the season over. I'm not going to do that because it's just silly. And if you want to make yourself feel better that way and tell yourself that they have no chance, go ahead. But that won't make it true. Stranger things have happened. Bigger comebacks have happened in the very, very recent past. Is it going to be easy? Heck no. And are they running out of time? Absolutely. The Blue Jays 6 games back right now in the American League wildcard race and 9 games behind the Baltimore Orioles for first place in the American League East. Are they likely to make the playoffs? Of course not. But is it over? Just as of course not. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's get to the phones. Blue Jays come back with 3 in the ninth, but lose it in the 10th, 4-3 to the Red Sox. Graham is in Brantford. He's going to lead things off on Blue Jays Talk tonight. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to say, first off, you know, 9 games behind, 8 games up in the World Series, whatever. It was, you know, not a perfect game, but an exciting game. You know, sure, we don't win. You know, that's that. I don't want to talk about trades. I don't want to talk about firing people. The bottom of the ninth, when Bautista goes for the steal, and he kind of kicks his leg out a little bit, you know, what's the like legality on that? And if I could, August 9th, Raji Davis, I believe the top of the first, almost kind of like kicks Juan Francisco. It looked intentional. I'll hang up and let you kind of digest that and talk about it. But thanks for having me, Mike, and go Jays go.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Jose Bautista wasn't stealing second. He was trying to break up a double play, and he did very successfully. He blew up Brock Holt real good. The legality of that, I guess I don't know if there's an official rule in the books, but the conventional wisdom is as long as you can still touch the bag while you're blowing up the middle infielder with the slide, then you're not too far off the base to be interfering with the guy. And that was a good, hard takeout slide by Jose Bautista, and that kept the inning going. It prevented a double play from being turned, and it set the stage for Edwin Encarnacion's game-tying double off the wall in left field. So very, very nice job by Bautista. And I don't know why you're bringing up that Rajay Davis thing in the Tigers game where he lifted up his leg when he was trying to avoid a pickoff throw. And it's funny because a couple of people have mentioned that at the time, and this is like 2.5 weeks ago, saying Rajay was trying to hurt Francisco and what was he doing there? And he was just trying to get out of the way. And the truth of the matter is, Francis, the ball went off the glove of Juan Francisco before it hit Rajay Davis in the leg. So I don't know why anyone would have any sort of problem with that. But thank you for the call. We go to Mike in Toronto, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Good talking to you again.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you a bit about, well, you know, you said it was going to take until we were below 500 until we're out of this race, and you're finally going to give up on it. I know that we've all hung in there, and again, I appreciate the positive outlook that you've had for weeks and weeks and weeks on this team, but I'm wondering if you really think that this might be actually be the death knell of the team.
No, of course not. It's August 25th.
Yeah, there's lots of games to play left, but maybe it's a bit about not bringing it all together at any point in the season. I mean, we've had the bats at sometimes, we've had the pitching at sometimes, the bullpen. I don't know if you remember Major League, but Lou Brown, we're just looking for something to bring it all together at one time, and maybe we just haven't had this year. and wondering what your thoughts are about moving forward. Like, I hate to say look and fear because it's not over. You got to play 162 games, but I'm wondering what you think about that.
I think that you're making that comment is out of frustration, if not despondence, to say that there hasn't been any point this year where the Blue Jays have had everything going. They won 20 out of 24 games at one point, 11 out of 13 at another, a five-game winning streak at another point in time. There have been a lot of times where the Blue Jays have had everything going on this year. There have been a lot of times where they haven't, more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're only a game over 500 right now. So I guess still more that they have had things going than that they haven't, but it's hope is fading, and with good reason. I mean, they're playing terribly. At the biggest point in time in the season, they're playing terribly. But again, you know, five games out on September 1st, you're still very much in a race.
Yeah,
and
like I said, you
six
play
games out on August 25th.
Yeah, got to play 162, so it's not over yet. But, I mean, would you be opposed to, down the stretch, if it really gets out of hand, that we maybe give Sanchez a couple innings in a start, or maybe bring up Norris and see what he can do out of the pen?
I think they're going to bring up Norris regardless.
Yeah.
Although if they fall further back between now and September 1st, those plans may change, and they won't carry him on the won't need to carry him on the 40-man roster all winter, so they might rethink that. I don't think we're going to see Aaron Sanchez make a start, though. They're very they want to manage his innings, and they don't want him throwing too many. They had said that they'd like to have him around 130 or so for the season, and right now he is at 119. So
yeah, climbing up there too. Tough luck for him tonight on that curveball. I think he's got some great stuff. Again, thanks, Mike, for the positive outlook on the whole season. I hope everyone can stay on it too, because I think we still have a great future and we're still in it this year. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. It's funny that I get painted as so positive. I'm really not. I find myself to be pretty realistic, and I know that it sounds positive in the wake of the overwhelming negativity that we're often faced with here on this program, but it really isn't. I don't expect the Blue Jays to make the playoffs, but I don't think that it's over. It's not. That's not a terribly positive outlook, I don't think. I think it's just real. Again, five games out on September 1st, and you are right in the race. The Blue Jays right now are six games out, and it's August 25th. Liam in Toronto, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hey, Liam.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. They're definitely not out of it this season. But I wanted to talk to you about next season starting pitching. And I got Dickey penciled in, Burley, Stroman, probably Sanchez. But I wanted to get your thoughts on would they ever consider Aaron Loop? You know, he'll be 27 next season. He's got a career ERA 2.66, a career whip 1.1. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Why Aaron Loop? Why do you think he would make a good starter?
Well, he's never, number one, he's never had a chance, and just mainly those numbers, and from what we've seen for his 3-4 years here, or 2-3, he's looked really good.
He has, but I mean, there's a reason he's in the bullpen.
And what is that?
Well, there can be a few reasons. I mean, one of which can be, he just doesn't have the stamina. And I think when you look at a guy who's a side-arming lefty like Aaron Loop is, that's not someone that you want to put through a lineup a million times or two or three times even, or someone you want to, you think is going to be able to have a lot of staying power.
Yeah, so you don't think that would ever be a possibility?
No, I don't.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I just look at his numbers and his age, you know, everything looks good. I thought give him a chance maybe next season or in Dunedin in the spring, but I guess not.
No. Some guys are, you know, there are very good relievers who make terrible starters.
Yes.
And it's about a quality third pitch, and it's about stamina, and it's about strength, and it's, you know, also about the fact that Aaron Loop gives you a really different look one time through the order. But no, starting pitching is not in his future.
Well, that was just my idea. But so my five, and then I guess I'd replace Norris with Loop.
With five Norris.
Next season, you know, Stroman, Sanchez, Norris, Burley, Dickey. Is that what you'd be thinking as of right now? Or?
No, not at all. I think that it'll more than likely, assuming everyone comes back, because you never know who's going to get traded, what might happen in the off season. I would think that the starting five next year will likely be Dickey, Burley, Hutchison, Stroman, Sanchez.
Very good. And I just wanted to throw one last point in about the last 3 months. You know, they haven't gone well. Everyone knows that. And I just wanted to Brett Laurie, I think, is the key. I know he can only bat once. He can only play one position. But when he's out there in the lineup, there's a different energy with the team, and I believe in energy big time. It's like when he's not there, we're kind of like vanilla, and when he's there, we're kind of like a banana split, if you know what I mean.
It's an interesting way of putting it. I'm not as big a believer in energy. I think that Brett Laurie's presence in the lineup makes the defense better. It makes the left side, you know, Jose Reyes doesn't have to worry about going into the hole. Laurie is such an exceptional defender at third base that he makes really the entire infield better defensively. And
I think the lineup, too. I think that bat at the sixth spot, it gets there. From what I'm seeing over the last 3 months, there's just something that's not there. That's when Brett Laurie's in the lineup, it's there. It's just a different feeling. That's all I want to say. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right. I appreciate it. I think it's Laurie's contribution on defense that matters more than anything else, which also says to me that Ryan Gowen should be here. I mean, how many diving tries did we see Munenori Kawasaki miss tonight and over the weekend? Kawasaki's an okay second baseman. Gowen's is tremendous. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why the Blue Jays have decided to have Munenori Kawasaki here and not Ryan Goins. The Ghost Rasmus thing is a whole other discussion. Kawasaki Goins is not. And that's an easy switch to make, and it should have been made a while ago. And who knows the difference in this game if Ryan Goins is playing second base. Does he catch that Cespedes liner up the middle in the 10th? Maybe. I'm sure we'll see him on September 1st. I don't know why we haven't seen him yet. More of your calls coming up, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. But before we get to the next call, let's listen to the Blue Jays skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 4-3 loss to the Boston Red Sox.
Gibby, through the opening eight, was Buchholz that good, or were you guys just taking bad approach?
No, I mean, that's the best we've seen him all year. You know, he was on the corners. He wasn't making many mistakes over in the middle of the plate, that's for sure. I mean, he did a hell of a job. But we haven't been scoring runs. We haven't been getting a lot of hits anyway. But we made a run at it. We needed another foot or two on Eddie's ball. And then couldn't shut him down that extra inning, you know. So disappointing, definitely disappointing. But Hap, you know, Hap was really good. Just those two swings got him. You know, one from a young kid, and then the other one, the other guys made a career out of getting big, big hits, you know.
Not to second guess, but Aaron Sanchez looked fantastic with the fastball. And then he threw something 81 or something when Cespedes was behind on that 97-mile-hour heat a couple of times in a row. What did you think of the pitch selection there at the end?
Well, if you don't mean to second guess, don't second guess. No, the key is that, I totally know what you're saying there. And if you're going to throw the hook at me, it's got to be down out of the strike zone. I think you left it right over the middle of the plate, but I definitely know what you're saying.
Gibby, how big was that three-run rally going into tomorrow, you know, carrying some momentum of at least getting back in that game?
Well, it's big. I mean, we were shut down that whole in that whole game. We came to life, in that course, in that ninth inning. And, I've said all along, we take our knocks as a team, but, the guys show up to play. They don't quit. They're as frustrated as all of us, But they showed some heart and gave a run at it.
You missed two big home runs in 2 days. Are you starting to feel like it's insult upon insult with everything else that's going wrong with the offense?
Maybe we need to get in the weight room or something. I don't know.
Gibbeth, do you feel there's any possibility that your hitters are maybe carrying a little bit of the frustration and the expectation and the need to do something into their at-bats, and maybe that's gotten them out of some of the more patient approach we saw earlier in the season when they were having success?
It's hard to say. We have run in some good pitching, but still we're a team that should score runs, and we haven't been doing that. It's hard to say. It's tough to hit a baseball. It's argued it's one of the toughest things to do in all sports, so that's not easy. And when the other guy's on, it makes it that much tougher. But, we're missing some pitches that we normally might hit. The mind's such a powerful thing, especially in hitting. And you get a little distracted, or you get a little anxious, or whatever it is. You start pressing if you're struggling, or, the team's struggling. It definitely affects you. You got to be loose and relaxed up there. And that's easier said than done sometimes. So, but we just want to keep battling. Really, that's all you can do.
Gibby, can you comment on Jose's slide in the ninth, that second, keep that inning alive?
Well, that's good, hard baseball. That's what you got to do. Your job, I don't want to say it's been lost in the game, but a good, hard slide at second base, break those things up, is what the game's all about. You guys, as old as you are, you've seen those guys back in the Rich and McCray and all those old-time players. They used to knock you in the left field, barrel roll you, all that when it was legal. That's a big part. You're playing to win. You go in hard and keep breaking it up, and that's how you give yourself a chance to win.
So that's John Gibbons on tonight's 4-3 loss in 10 innings to the Boston Red Sox. He said, and Aaron Sanchez said as well, if he's going to throw Yoenis Cespedes a two-strike curveball, it's got to be in the dirt. It wasn't, and it hung up there, and Cespedes knocked it into center field to drive in the game-winning run. Now, the merits of the pitch call are certainly debatable, especially since Cespedes had not been catching up to the 96-97-mile-an-hour fastball. And is a 22-year-old going to call off his veteran catcher who puts down the deuce? Probably not. But Cespedes hit it, Sanchez didn't throw it in the right place, and the Blue Jays, who rallied for 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning, could not rally again in the 10th, and they lose 4-3 to the Boston Red Sox. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, and we go to Ethan in Toronto listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hey, Ethan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? I'm a massive fan of the show, by the way. I've been listening to your show for, I don't know, maybe a decade? How long have you been on the air for?
This is my 13th season doing this show.
Okay, so let's say I've been listening for like 10 of them.
Nice.
And I love you.
Thank you.
I always wonder, what I always wonder is, how are you so optimistic?
I'm not.
Every season you always believe that there's a hope. You always sort of slant it every year that there's going to be a hope the Jays make the playoffs.
I don't think that's true. Not if you've been listening for 10 years.
Oh, at least the last 7.
I think 09, 10, 11, there really wasn't any realistic hope that they were going to contend.
We'd have to go back to the tape. Right?
Okay.
But seriously, do you ever have one of those existential crises where you look in the mirror and you're like, I love baseball, I know it so well, but I'm not great at assessing talent as a team?
No, I've never had that existential crisis.
Really?
No, but despite the however many times Tampa Bay Rays have proven me wrong, and this year the Baltimore Orioles and whatever. No, I don't. No.
Why? What's going on? Why does it all? How is Kansas City? They're going to beat up. They have the longest drought other than us.
Yes.
All of professional sports. So what are we going to do? How? What? 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 like, and you're an analytical guy, what do you put, is it just like, what do you base it on? What's going on?
What do I base what on? The 21-year drought?
Yeah. The 21-year, like, how, like, what, what's, like, and you're optimistic. And some teams you think were fielding, like, a good enough team to make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think they've had a good enough team to make the playoffs. Well, I still believe that, you know, between, like, 98 and 2008, maybe even between 97 and 2008, if they'd been in another division, they probably would have made the playoffs four or five times.
So you're chalking it up mostly to the division?
Most of the 20 years, yeah, but the last five or six, you can't chalk it up to the division anymore.
So what do you chalk it up to?
The last five or six?
Yeah,
I say, and forgive me if I get some of the years wrong, because they all kind of blend together. But I think it was 07 and 08 that they had the best ERA in the major leagues, both those years. And one of those years, they led the majors in every pitching category, and they had a phenomenal defense, and they still finished like 15 games out of the playoffs. That's bad luck, and that's having two powerhouses in your division.
Right.
09, 10, 11, they just weren't good enough to win, and nobody should have expected them to win, and really nobody did. Last year, they played poorly, and then everybody got hurt.
Injuries.
Yeah. This year, they started out great. They then had a bad 3 weeks. Then everybody got hurt, and now two-thirds of them are back, and they still can't pull themselves out of it. So I don't know what you pointed to other than simply the fact that you really can't predict this stuff, and maybe the baseball gods just don't like us here. Maybe this is our punishment for bringing to the World Series to Canada 2 years in a row.
I don't know. I think it's got to be like ultimately 20 years, 21 years, you got to think it's just bad management.
Yeah. Except that there have been three different team presidents, three different general managers, and a ton of different managers, and two different owners, three different owners. So you can't say that.
Yeah, well, they just haven't picked the right people out of all the stuff. Like, why aren't they going? Literally, I would go to Harvard, Yale, Stanford, find, like, a genius, team them with, like, a savvy, like, veteran GM who's been in the year, like, been in baseball for a long time, assistant GM, and then literally, like, do some Billy Bean magic, because he's, like, he's always ahead of the curve. Like, he's doing something different, right? And, like, in Friedman does in Tampa. We just don't have any out-of-the-box, you know, thinking going on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true. And I think that Billy Bean and Andrew Friedman have combined also to win no World Series. So, they're in the playoffs a lot. It's true.
Come on. Like,
it's true.
Also, smaller sample size.
Huh?
Playoff baseball is just like a smaller sample size. You got to evaluate how a team, like the management of a team, just by basically getting them into the playoffs. Once you're in the playoffs, it's like that's when luck definitely comes into play.
Luck comes into play a lot more, than that. But yes, you're right. It's once you get into the playoffs, it's all kind of luck that get you there. But regardless, I don't agree that, you know, that there aren't enough out of the box thinkers. The Blue Jays certainly have their share of geeks, and Alex Anthopoulos is only a year and a half removed from being the boy wonder in Major League Baseball. So I really do think that it comes down to the talent on the field producing, because the truth of the matter is, healthy, this team's as good as any other team, and this team is pretty healthy right now, and they have been only for about a week and a half, but it's been a pretty rough week and a half. I appreciate the call and the kind words. Thanks, Ethan, and thanks for your long-term and continued listener-tude. Let's go out to Russ in New Jersey. Russ, you're next on Blue Jays Talk.
Good evening, Mike. How are you?
I'm happier than you. You sound completely despondent.
This has just been a very, very frustrating season. But let me ask like this. I don't think anybody's talking about the flip side. And let's say this team the last 31 games goes 12-19 or 13-18. Now, I know I'm not putting the blame game on whose fault it is and if it's the players or the manager, but the bottom line is, how ugly can this thing get? If they go, they finish four or five games under 500, which there's a decent chance of that.
There's not a decent chance of that. There's a chance of that.
Okay, but if you finish under five, I don't know, decent half, you know what? We didn't think they would lose You know, two out of, you know, five out of seven to the White Sox this year. That at the end of the season, you know, are you going to be, are some guys going to ask to be traded? You know, a guy like Batista, he made it pretty clear at the deadline that he was upset that they didn't get the players. Now, I agreed with you at the time. I don't think one player was going to make a difference to this team. You know, I don't care if you got Prado or whoever you got. Yankees are getting great starting pitching these days. So it wasn't going to make a difference. But a guy like him at 34 years old, and you're going to go tell him next year, and you just said the rotation that you think is going to be of Burley, who's 38, whatever he's going to be, Dickey, 40.
He'll be 36. Yeah, 36. Dickey, 40, and then three kids under 20,
and three
24
kids
and under.
Might be good pitchers.
Yeah.
But are you going to convince him that next year they're all going to, you know, in their first year they're going to be, he wants to win next year. He doesn't want, he can't afford to wait 3-4 years. And I really think this could, you know, spiral a little bit out of control if the team has a bad finish of pointing fingers and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, and when teams go through that, that can happen for sure. But, you know, I think that, first of all, and I know this sounds cruel, I don't care what Jose Bautista thinks. I don't care if he's happy or not. I don't care if he wants to be here or not. He signed a contract. He's here. And even now, like, he's still producing, even when he's supposedly so terribly unhappy. He drew a walk today. He's reached base in almost every game. He blew up the shortstop in the double play.
He's hitting .230 in the month of August.
Right, but his on base is, what, .380?
Something,
you know,
like
he's,
that.
He's still getting on base. He's still not getting out. He's still leading the major leagues in on base percentage. If the problem I have, and there's some validity to it, about the idea of trading Jose Bautista. The problem I have is it's almost impossible to replace him and to trade him and not open up a huge gaping hole in your lineup. What do you have to get back to make trading Jose Bautista worthwhile?
But, yeah, but I want to ask you a question, Mike, and I fully understand what you're saying. But, you know, they told Alex Anthopoulos he's coming back next year, which I have no problem with.
There's a report about that is not... Nobody said anything, but it's basically the report is he's not going to get fired in the off season because he's still under contract.
Right, but you know what? You have a team here that, like I said, I don't think the starting pitching, and did I believe in middle of July they could win this? Yes, I told you that. I really thought. I didn't think anyone was that good. Baltimore's obviously shocked me, but you're a little bit, you have that starting staff. I don't think... For next year, and I'm not saying those guys aren't going to be good pitchers, but for next year, you could really believe that that's a starting staff that's going to win you a division. And I think you put a guy in a very tough position of a GM, to, if they say you can come back for next year, basically saying, you know what, if you don't win next year, then you're gone. And it's a very tough position when you're trying to develop these young pitchers, you're trying to win, but you're trying to really do both at the same time. I think you put the guy in a really, really tough position of being a general manager. I think if you believe in him, then you give him 2 years or 3 years and you let him, you see how it works out. But a 1 year is really, you know, saying you win at all costs. Or else,
yeah, but I don't know where you're getting this from, Russ.
What do you mean you don't know where I'm getting it from?
I don't know where you're getting this, that Alex Anthopoulos has 1 year left, and if he doesn't win in 1 year, he's gone. And,
if they have to come out this year and say that he's coming back next year.
They didn't. Nobody came out this year and said that he's coming back next year. One reporter wrote that he's got sources that have told him that Alex Anthopoulos is coming back next year. There's been no announcement. There's not going to be an announcement. There's nobody come out and said anything. Nobody's confirming it. Nobody's denying it. Nobody nothing. So I think you're taking a report and you're blowing it up into something that's a lot bigger than it is. And I appreciate the call as always, but I do want to get to a couple more people. Steve is in Barrie. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Go ahead.
I just want to take a little bit of the positivity compass and put things a bit north. First of all, if this team were last year's team, I can see a lot of people having problems with it, but we're not. We're right in the thick of things. But just to bring up the 10th inning there, I have a question. I wanted your thoughts and perspective on it. The play at second base that was reviewed,
yep.
Should Gibbons perhaps have maybe
ask the umpires to focus their attention on Pedroia maybe interfering with Navarro a bit there, because from the perspective I saw of it on TV, it was a hit and run play, so Pedroia knew that he had the opportunity to, when he swings, if he misses, fall in front of the throwing path, as he usually does. And I was just curious, how come Gibby might not have pushed that angle more so than the play at second base?
First of all, I don't know that he didn't.
Okay.
But second of all, it's not on the list. I'm looking right now at the list of reviewable plays, and it says any play not listed is not reviewable. It doesn't say interference with a throw by a catcher.
Okay.
So that may, in fact, not be reviewable.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
So there you go.
And then one last quick point with regards to the last caller that maybe you can clear up for me. If a trade is decided with Batista in the offseason, as some have mentioned, is Batista not a 10-5 player? Can he not veto a trade now?
Is he a 10-5? That's a good... You know what? I haven't even ever
looked
that up.
I believe he is. He's been in the league 10 years, and he's been 5 years with the Jays at least.
Let's see. Now, if the reason that Jose Bautista is being talked about in trade is because he's so miserable here...
Which I don't think is the case.
I don't think it's the case either. No. Jose Bautista is not a 10-5 player.
Oh, okay.
He at the end of this season, he will be, I believe, 7 days short of 10 years in the major leagues. So how about that?
Jeez, close.
Yeah, so if you know what? If you want to trade Jose Bautista with impunity, this offseason is your last opportunity to do it.
Exactly. So maybe that's a bit more icing on the cake for them to,
Yeah, very interesting. Thank you for bringing that up, Steve. Never even occurred to me. I appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. I apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. The Boston Red Sox 8-game losing streak is over. They beat the Blue Jays 4-3 despite a 3-run rally in the bottom of the ninth that sent the game to extra innings. Blue Jays lose it in the 10th. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, ninth inning rally wasted by the Blue Jays. They get up off the mat to score 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth and tie up a game in which they had looked completely down and out of with just 2 hits over the first 8 innings. Jose Bautista blows up Brock Holt at second base to break up a potential game-ending double play and allow 1 run to score, keeping it alive for Edwin Encarnacion, who then doubles in a pair off the left field wall to tie the game. But in the top of the 10th, with a runner on third, 2 outs, and 2 strikes on Yoenis Cespedes, Aaron Sanchez hangs a curveball. Cespedes hits it into center field for a single. Red Sox win it 4-3, the final. Nothing else went the Blue Jays' way on the scoreboard out of town tonight. The Baltimore Orioles were big winners. They took down the Tampa Bay Rays 9-1. The New York Yankees beat the Kansas City Royals 8-1. Seattle and the Rangers underway 0-0 in the bottom of the third. So as a result, right now, the Blue Jays are 6 games back in the wild card, 3 games back of the Yankees for second in the AL East, and 9 games out of first place behind those Baltimore Orioles. Series continues tomorrow night. We are on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. It'll be R.A. Dickey against Ruby De La Rosa. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership of the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Matt Killer Brown,